every day is Saturday at Casinos USA. Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA podcast, and welcome to our early August 2026 podcast, episode 178. Hey, we understand we're growing in Sweden and we're big right now, so we welcome all the people from Sweden listening to us. Oh, my goodness. Can't wait to see you in our casinos. Yeah. And all those people who've been with us regularly, welcome back today. I hope summer's going well. And we have some newcomers. That's great. Always ready to deal with the different issues that come up with casinos, particularly all around the United States of America. And one of them is we watch on YouTube many people make it look very easy to win thousands of dollars. Vegas Matt, Bluffin' Bob, those are two to come to mind. And others, you know, kind of unspoken names, just say, oh, I got $100. I'm going to stick it in a bubble crafts machine, a tower crafts machine, and watch what happens. So is it easy to win in a casino, or is it really hard to win in a casino? That's what we're going to start to show today. We'll talk about the variety of games you could play and choices you could make. But we're going to talk about what we call an honest take on a very important question. How hard is it to beat the casino? Or is it really easy as some people make it look? We'll be right back and start the show. Let's start with an easy one. And that's the craps tower games. I call them towers. I always talk about bubble craps when that's one bubble plexiglass with seats all the way around it. And it's a mechanical game where you can shoot the dice by hitting your button when you're the shooter, but only when you're the shooter. Otherwise, it goes to another shooter. The tower games, those are single cylinder, and there's a chair or a double seat in front of every tower. And you control the pace of the game. You control everything. I just prefer those. There's no social, unless you're sitting with someone, there's no social element to it. But there's a fast money way to win there. We'll talk about it. But here's the issue. What do you do with the first roll of the game? You know, so you're going to come into the game. What do? Well, if you're playing crapless craps, for goodness sakes, don't tell your listeners if you're taping it, please don't let me crap out, because you can't crap out on a crapless craps machine. And I saw a young person last week on YouTube. I was watching it and she said, I'm going to put $100 in and I just hope I don't crap out. And she was playing crapless craps. The correct word she wanted to search for there was seven out. But you couldn't seven out on a come out roll, could you? No. Unless your numbers were operating. So if you just placed numbers and the control you have is that the numbers are always working, then you could seven out on a come out roll and lose. That's true in the table game too. Generally speaking, people go off when they come out on their numbers, but you don't have to. You can say, put me on. And usually they'll have a button saying on. So let's say you go to what I'm calling a tower machine and you punch in, this crapless craps. That means there's 12 numbers because 2, 3, 12, and 11 are also point numbers. So you have 12 numbers. So you're going to punch in $10 for every number. Now, so you got $120 exposed, right? So if there's a seven, you're going to lose. Now, if there's not a seven on the first hit, right, you're going to press the outside numbers. That's what they do. So whatever they win, they have $10 on it. They're going to use that to press the outside numbers, which would be what? The two and the 12. And if they had money left over, they would, you know, do the 11 and the three. That's what they say, press the outside numbers, because that outside numbers pay the most, right? Okay, so this is your second push. So you push it, and you get a seven. Oh, you lose everything. You lose everything. They make it look so easy when they're taping it. Not everybody. Bluffin' Bob shows a lot of times when they lose this way. So does Vegas Matt. But most people just show you, oh, it's so easy to win. It's so easy to win. Well, If you hit a seven on, you're going to go three rolls and cash out. If you hit a seven before your third roll or after your third roll, you're going to lose. You're going to lose everything on the board. And if you haven't kept anything because you were pressing the numbers, you lost. So, what, 120 a crack at $10 a number, which is pretty low, right? You see people on the internet, you know, they play $30 a number, $50 a number, really risking a whole lot of money. And I don't know if they think the seven isn't going to hit, but it does. And, you know, there's more ways to roll a seven than any other number. And that's always been the poison in the game of craps. You know, in a regular game, not crapless craps, but in a regular game of craps, on a come out roll on a pass line, 7-11 wins. But once the point's established, let's say the point was eight. If you roll a seven before you roll the eight, you lose everything. You lose all your bets. So it's the same gig. You got to watch out for those sevens, you know. And we don't like to say the word seven in it on the table. You know, we just say the devil. Right? When we hop the seven, it's common to say, we hop the reds. Hop the reds. Okay. But here's the important thing to remember. Three rolls and out. The dice have no memory. I mean, that's not hard to understand, is it? They can't think. The dice have no memory. So you could have been rolling 100 rolls without a 7. Or the 7 could pop up on your first roll and the 7's having rolled 100 times in a row. But wow, there's a 7. The dice don't remember how long they've gone without a 7. They could throw a 7, boom, then another 7, boom, then another 7, boom, then another 7, boom. And I've seen 7 sevens, yes, no problem. People say betting the 7, you know, like any 7s, it's a prop bet, this one roll. It's not a very good bet. And it isn't, because there's so many other numbers that could roll. You know, a craps number could roll, a point number could roll, but it could also roll 7. All right, so dice have no memory. That's important. So after three rolls, is it more likely that a 7 will come up than it was the first roll or the second roll or the third roll that you took? No. No. So when you think about it, you're putting a lot at risk with just a click of the dice when you have that much to lose. So what I do, and this is not going to be any different mathematically, I don't put all my money out on the first roll, because if I 7 out and lose, let's say I had a $10 in every number and crapless craps, $120. If I lose $120 in the first roll, oh, I'm pissed. So maybe I'll put $2 in every number, you know, make it a $24 bet gig, you know, and I'll roll and I get a number. Hey, that's okay. And then I'll add money and make it $5 more on every, and take it to 7, you know, $7 on every number. There's ways to deal with it. Or I could just go like young people are doing today, three rolls and cash out. If there's any cash left, yeah, three rolls and cash out. I do like the tower craps for a couple reasons. One reason is you can take as much time as you want to think things out. You can talk over things with other people, you know, if you're playing with two people in one machine. And on bubble craps or the regular table game, you can't. You know, there's not enough time to do that. You got to be, especially when the table's crowded, you got to be quick, make your bets, put them on, take them down, turn them off, make other ones, place bets. You know, if you're going to make prop bets or if you're going to make hard ways, you get a lot of things to do in a short period of time. And so that's what I'm saying. Random is random. It doesn't matter how many times the dice have rolled. It doesn't affect the next number. The math is the same every time it rolls. There was a guy years ago, he's still around. He had something called the five count. He said, yeah, you'd be safe. Goodness gracious, you'd be safe. Don't make any bets until five rolls. Well, you know, it doesn't, I used to say the same thing at that time. It doesn't matter if you wait 20 rolls. The 7 could pop up on the next roll. That's just how it works. Dice have no memory. Dice have no memory. Oh, the table's hot. Everybody's rolling a long time. Well, the dice don't remember that. When you throw the dice at a table, it doesn't remember that what was happening for a long time. People were winning. Boom. 5-2, you're out. 6-1, you're out. 4-3, you're out. So dice have no memory. That's an important, important lesson. And even so, you know, the game of tower craps is growing. More people are playing. And why don't all veterans of craps tables make that jump to tower craps? Well, I definitely play both ways. You know, I do it at the table and I do it on the bubble machines and I do it in the tower craps. But here's the thing. No one's setting dice on these games. And some people just believe that setting dice, like pairing up the dice, 2 sixes, 2 fives, or, you know, some combination, 6-1, a 4 and a 5, a 5 and a 4, you know, give you some sort of advantage if you throw the dice properly. And that's just a part of the game you would like to believe. Like, you might like to believe there's angels in the outfield. But Jeremy Ellerick, if you ever watch his videos, he's probably the best videographer out there right now. You know, he agrees with me. It's not a proven thing that you can set dice. If you could set dice, casinos wouldn't let you set dice, right? I mean, if setting dice actually worked, casinos wouldn't let you do it, you know? Just like card counting. It's not illegal, but if they find out you're card counting in blackjack, they won't let you do it. So that's the drawback. That's the only drawback I see at the tower machine. If you believe in setting dice, you're not setting dice. You know, wherever they fell last time, that's where they're going to be for you, man. Of course, if no one's playing, every couple of minutes the dice just shoot themselves to get your attention and, you know, change the number that you're seeing when you look down on them. Okay, that's big. But if you enjoyed a 3 and out, and, you know, you're going to win. You're going to win at times, no matter how much money you put or don't put on those numbers. You're going to win at times. And enjoy it, man. That's what it's all about, enjoying it. So, dice have no memory. Now, women, on the other hand. Oh, boy. Okay. Short break and we'll be coming back. Okay, I wanted to say that when you think about these, like I told you, the Vegas mats and the bluffing bobs, the other thing I think we should remember, and I'm not trying to be unfair to them, is they're losing money at times, and they show you that, but at the same time they're losing money, they're making money because they have such a following that they're being paid, you know, by Facebook or from YouTube. They're being paid. And our Facebook group, say we have 7,000. We had 7,000. I threw a couple hundred off because of their posts. They were just putting on ads. But say we had 7,000 and say they were paying 99 cents a month. You think, well, that's really being fair. 99 cents a month. Okay, so that's almost $7,000 a month you're making. You can see why people make a living as an influencer on YouTube or Facebook or both combos, right? You can see how that works. And if that's what I was doing, monetizing, then Facebook or YouTube would say, well, we're going to take half of that. You'd still have $3,500, right? And I really believe they negotiate, depending on the number of people that you have there. I don't think there's a set thing that they do. I could be wrong, but that's what I believe. I think that's what happens. And would I like to do that? Yeah, sometimes. But I still just don't like to charge money for doing something I really enjoy. There's no way I'd make $30,000 worth of bets at a blackjack table like Vegas Matt and others, to be fair. And I don't think anyone can make a living in a casino or from a casino gambling, if they're not getting paid in some other fashion, because every single game in a casino is against you. The house edge is against you. So the longer you play, mathematically, the more likely it is that you'll give it back. There's that story that's out right now. You can find it on YouTube. The most money lost playing slots. I think somebody lost $10 million over a course of a couple of years by playing slots. That's all. Not table games, slots. You know, they were playing high-limit slots, of course, maybe $200, $300 a roll. But can you imagine? And right now, they're pretty much broke. They have GoFundMe pages for this dude, you know? So the story is that Mr. Wynn, of the Wynn, when he was in the president and in charge, banned this guy because he just felt bad for him. So good for him, but remember that. You don't see their losses. Most of these people, you don't know what they taped before they got one that won. And the ones that do lose and show that to you, I guarantee you, the majority of those people are getting money back from the business they created. God bless them. And how broke do these high rollers get trying to beat the casino over a lifetime? How broke do they get? Well, here's how I would put it.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the dogs.
I guess that's pretty broke. Do you go to a casino for recreation? If that's your chief motivation, that's what mine is. To never play with what we call scared money. You know, scared money is money you cannot afford to lose. And when you bet with scared money, your anxiety level goes sky high. It's a skyrocket. I'm not looking for that, no. When you lose scared money, ultimately you're just disgusted with yourself. And I'm damn sure other people are disgusted with you as well. So this may also create some motivation to replace scared money with a cash advance from your credit card, which is only going to add to your frustration with recreational gaming, because eventually the bill arrives. Here's what I'm saying. Don't even take that second visit to an ATM, you know. Call that the walk of shame, right? You'll not be pleased if you lose, but losing is part of what happens at a casino. And if you play with a budget and you play restrictions and limits, you're playing smart, and that's a big issue for a recreational gambler. You know, how many people have said this, recreational or otherwise, I should have quit when I was ahead. So competitive juices are sometimes harmful in a casino environment because you don't want to give up, you know. Fight on for USC, right? No, fight on. Hey, we can come back. We can win the second half. Please, come on. So you don't want to do that. When you reach your loss limit, it's done. You're done. Not that you're going to become a sourpuss. You can go to the sports book. You can do something else. You can just walk around for some exercise. But you don't have to make everybody go home because you decided to quit playing. But you're done for the day. And if you can do that, then you're doing everything we want you to do in terms of recreational gaming. Short break, and we'll be back with Janie.
Hi everyone, it's Jane. I'm here today to tell you about a new game, a new slot game. Actually, the game isn't new. For years, we've played the successful game of Monopoly on a slot machine. And part of its popularity, I'm sure, is because it was a board game first, and there's so much popularity with just that game alone, the board game of Monopoly, that it crossed over onto the slot machine. People like to sit down and play Monopoly because they've played the board game and they know the characters are the same and the references are similar. But the Aristocrat Gaming Company, which is a well-known gaming company, has taken that a step further. And to quote the senior vice president, Dan Marks, Aristocrat Gaming has made the Monopoly Big Board Bucks stand apart because it captures the nostalgia of the classic board game in a way that no previous Monopoly slot has. So, what I would say is to the game is likely to land at your favorite casino soon, so look for the Monopoly Big Board Bucks game. Now, they don't go into a lot of detail as to exactly how it feels more like a board game. I believe it's when the bonus starts. But they have changed it. And the game made its first official debut this April at a California casino. But every other casino is trying to get this machine. So keep your eyes out open. And if you do end up finding it and playing it, let us know how you attribute that statement as far as it appears to resemble or bring you to the nostalgia of the board game more than any of the other slots have. But we all know Monopoly's fun. I know I've liked playing it over the years.
You know, it brings back times when we actually played the board game together. You know, so
right.
Playing a slot machine together is fun, too.
Yeah, it is. And you can associate. So I'm sure that's one of the reasons it's so popular, just like the other branded machines are, like a Game of Thrones, Night of the Living Dead, all those, the Whitney Houston, all the ones that have characters and a name associated with them, a familiarity.
So what's happening in Vegas now?
Well, okay, news on Vegas. Well, the Hard Rock finally hit a milestone when the moment that the final steel beam was placed on top of the structure. And the structure, as we know, is a large guitar. That's Hard Rock symbol. Are the guitars. So if you remember, the Mirage was there before and they had the volcano. In fact, we happened to be there the last day that the volcano was there, and we were staying at Harrah's right across the street, and we watched the last blasting of the volcano and then them taking it apart the very next day. And that was a couple summers ago.
Yep.
And now the Mirage, you know, has been is remodeled. It has a whole new facade with the guitar. Now, when it's finished, it's not operational yet, but when it's finished, this resort's going to have more than 3,700 hotel rooms and a massive casino floor, all kind of meeting space, new restaurants, lounges, and retail experience. And the other is that it's expected to hire and have about 6,000 team members working there when it's fully operational. And then people wonder why Nevada has, especially Las Vegas, has such an influx of people. You know, where do you find jobs like that? Where one facility has 6,000 jobs. And there's so many other casinos and hotels like that.
You know, people complain about casinos. There's too many casinos, it's saturated, and it's a ripoff and so on. But I think it's good to mention the fact that so many people work at casinos.
Oh, what yeah. It does for the economy of everywhere they are. Anywhere you look at a casino, if it's your small town, if it's you're close to a city where there's one, the casinos employ so many people. And then they always contribute to the economy. Most places, when we've cited this before, when we go to casinos, once we're there, we see that the small town in the area has new sidewalks, new street lights, and they've upgraded. So just keep in mind that that will be operational. They're hoping this fall that'll happen. They haven't had a date projected exactly. But that's as close as we can get.
Well, this is the early August podcast, so this fall isn't that far away.
No, it's not. Okay, I'm talking about Las Vegas now. And this is called Las Vegas on a Budget. If you are planning a trip to Las Vegas, you want to hear this. And really, if you're going to go to a place like Las Vegas, in itself, there's so many resorts there. It's not like you're going to one resort and you don't have to plan things. If you're going to Las Vegas, it's a good idea to have some idea of the strip location, the downtown Fremont Street location, surrounding areas, the Henderson location, and the sights and attractions that you might want to see. What is there for you to see? They have a lot of museums there, but what I'm going to just hit on a few things here because some of these attractions are free.
Well, this reminds me of something that happened to us recently. We got a notification that our podcast, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget that it's global, but our podcast is growing fast, you know, moving up the ranks in Sweden. So we want to talk to the Swedish fans and say, maybe if you're coming, this is some good information for you. But thank you for listening, and we're proud to be growing into the top 100 in Sweden. That's great.
All right. Well, one of the newest things is the Art Museum, and that's ARTE. And that's called A Journey Through Digital Wonder. They do a lot of everything digitally, like have you standing in waves, in water, in a field of flowers. And it seems very, very real. They use AI completely. It's all digital. And it's one of the newest attractions. And they also tell you that you should plan to spend at least an hour there exploring this mesmerizing attraction, although you can stay longer. You can stay as long as you want to take in all the detail, capture photos, and fully experience each themed room. So they tell you there the rooms have themes. So that's the Art Museum. And that is located at City Center. That's the big City Center shopping area right by the strip. It's easy to get there with a cab, with a car. Now, as far as price, tickets generally start around $50, and they can be purchased at www.lasvegasartmuseum.com. But check, you never know, check at your hotel, wherever you're staying, see if they have any kind of a better deal with tickets for the museum. One of the other attractions you might want to see is the Strat. It used to be called the Stratosphere, but the Strat Hotel and Casino and Thrill Rides. Now, they add that third category because that is a big attraction, especially for international visitors. Believe it or not, there are clubs and organizations that are thrill ride enthusiasts, and they love this as a mecca for them. But the Stratosphere has an elevator to the very top, and they have an observation deck there where you can look at the rides that are there. And trust me, we have seen all the rides. We didn't ride any of them, but we've been up there many times. We did eat at the top of the World restaurant that is amazing. And it does 360 degrees very slowly. And you get a view of the entire city that way. It's nice to go. We thought the best time is between daylight and dusk, or dusk and evening, so that you get a daylight view of the area and a nighttime view with all the lights, because out there, you know, it's a city known for the lights. But you can if to go up just to the observation deck, it costs $20, and then the ride package is $35 to $50 depending. And they have special deals once you get up there. If you go on two of them, it's a certain price, or just one. But if you are going to Las Vegas, I might also add that there's a book called Las Vegas Advisor Members Rewards Coupon Book that you can get. And it has a coupon in it for going up in that package to the observation desk, and it's half off. So if it's $20, then you'll only be paying $10. So that's a coupon in there that saves you half. So that's for spending, and you can spend a lot of time up there. It's really very interesting to go and watch the rides and the people getting on them and off of them. And trust me, it's like Niagara Falls. You'll stand there and you'll hear all kind of different nationalities speaking. We'll give you the address to get this book or the phone number.
Actually, just go online. More, they call it the LVA, Las Vegas Advisor, the LVA. It's a $50 purchase, but there's coupons for dining, gambling.
Well, I'll give you the exact amounts here. There's 24 coupons for gambling, and that's things like if you go to the plaza down on Fremont Street, you get a $10 slot bonus. If you go to downtown Grand, you get a $5 slot bonus. Also a $5 to $50 match bet. There's 24 gambling coupons in which there's you get free slot play or for that amount of money or a match play. There's 11 coupons for shows and attractions. And I'm going to bring up another attraction here. Okay, so we've had the Art Museum and the Strat. Now, another one is the Mob Museum. Now, that is a great one. We've been there. That's on Fremont Street. It's down there. It's an old courthouse. And we thought, well, it's just the history of maybe the Italian mob, whatever. It's not. It's all the mobs. The Chinese mobs, the Irish mobs.
Associated with Vegas.
It's associated, all the mobs associated with Vegas. And they've done all the history on them. It's really well done. We were shocked at how well done it was. And it says to spend at least 2 or 3 hours there. And I know we spent at least that much. It's three floors, three stories of the building. And it's packed with everything. There is a little concession area that you can get something to eat or drink.
There's a speakeasy.
Well, and if you want to eat after you're done, there's a speakeasy on the ground level, which was really nice. We went there and we had drinks and we had just like coffee and tea. And then they also had, we had a little hors d'oeuvre type plate.
Well, they have alcohol.
Yeah, they do have, there's a bar there, yeah, yes.
It's underground. It's
yeah, and you can even do wine, you can do testing there of beers and wines. It's another fee, and you can see into the area where they're testing them or tasting them. In the speakeasy, they have outfits that men and women wore before, and they're beautiful clothes, just I can't even tell you how much we enjoyed that. We went with our daughter. Now, she's the teacher, and the day we went, they had a special for teachers. It was like $4 to get in or something. It was amazing, but they have specials all the time. Sometimes buy one, get one free. You'd have to check, but the admission starts around $35, and they do have discounts available online. And the speakeasy's open to walk-ins and museum guests, depending on the capacity. It's not very large, but, you know, it seats enough. They have tables. They have some sofas there, some coffee tables. It's enjoyable. It's really enjoyable. And also, with this LVA coupon book, there's also coupon for the Mob Museum. You get $4 off two admissions. So you're saving $8 right there. So that is another way to go. Now, the rest of the sites and attractions I'm going to talk about are all free to get in. There's no admission charge. And one is the Pinball Hall of Fame. Now, that we've also been to. That's really fun. You can play most of the machines there, and you do have to pay for those. But most of them cost less than $1 to play. They kept them with their original coin usage, like a quarter.
Quarter
or maybe 50 cents, two quarters, but it's free admissions to the hall, and then you can find any machines that you like and play whatever you like to play. In talking about the Pinball Hall of Fame, it's close to the Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas sign where everybody gets their pictures taken, and that's on the south end of the strip. And the sign, everybody knows, every cab knows if you get in a cab to where to take you if you want to go to the Welcome to Las Vegas sign. And you get your pictures taken there. Sometimes there's quite a wait. Sometimes there's none. It depends, you know, the season, who's visiting, what the weather's like. If it's, you know, right now in Las Vegas, it's in the teens, 115, 113. So I don't think too many people will stand out in that waiting for pictures. But It's in the same neck of the woods as the Pinball Hall of Fame is. And to get your picture taken is also free. You know, you just go and you get your picture taken. So you can take it there. Now, they do have people there that will take it, but they're going to charge you. But you can take it yourself. Then there's the Fountains of the Bellagio. Now, they're just outside the very front of the Bellagio, where the lake for the Bellagio is, and the Dancing Waters are there. You can watch those Dancing Waters shows. The water goes as high as 460 feet in the air while it's dancing to music from classical to contemporary music. And that's free. You just stand around the fence, around the lake, and watch it. Or if you happen to be inside and you can look out and see it, or if you eat at the one restaurant, and I can't remember the name of it, in the Bellagio, you can reserve a table near the window to watch it. And that goes on all day. So they have them at night too. They're lit up, the water, the Dancing Waters. That's a really amazing attraction. Again, that's free. There's also the Bellagio has, while you're in that area, they have the conservatory and the botanical gardens, and that's free to the public, and it's open 24/7. And they decorate it seasonally. You know, Christmas, they have their Christmas decorations. They do it for the seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter, including Christmas. But it's beautiful what they do with all the flowers. If you think about the Rose Bowl Parade and they do all those floats in flowers, well, the Bellagio does this in the conservatory. I know when it was, when it's horse racing, when there's big races on, they do a horse in there and decorate it with all the flower wreaths. And it's just really beautiful and worthwhile seeing. And again, 24/7 it's open. It's never crowded in there. You can walk in, spend some time in there, look around, take beautiful pictures. Again, free. Then there's a place just 20 minutes south of the Strip called Seven Magic Mountains. And it was created, sculptures that are created, was created by a Swiss artist. And they're rocks, towering rocks, seven different pillars of them, and they're all colored, painted different colors. And so if you just want to escape from the casino environment and experience a different side of southern Nevada, which we know is an awful lot of desert there, this is out in the desert. We've been there. We went to see them, and you can walk right up to them and take pictures right at them. There's a nice big path from the roadway or the parking area over to the rocks. So that's a neat thing to see also. I'm always looking for different things to see and do when you're out there. But I thought this was good. There's so many free things to see that if you even fill up, you could fill up a day with just all of them or spread it out.
Janie, I know last episode we talked about this. I don't know, it's almost a war that's going on in Pennsylvania between the casinos and Pennsylvania's skill slot machines. So what's new with that?
Well, it isn't just in Pennsylvania. In fact, the state of Missouri had this same showdown, and Missouri ruled them illegal. Those machines are not considered games of skill. They're considered illegal slot machines, and the state has done away with all of that. They are no longer allowed. So up comes Pennsylvania with their court battle, and the courts decided that they were also slot machines and that the skill, whether they required skill or not, it didn't matter. They were still slot machines because under the definition, a slot machine, it's a machine in which a person puts money into it expecting a result. Either they win money or they lose money. Okay, so Fav and I were surprised to find out that it's estimated that the state said there were 70,000 of these machines in the state, but other estimates say that there's probably closer to 90,000, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But letters were sent to sites that do have these machines, and they were told they had 120 days before the final decision. So that's a little evasive as to what will happen. Now, no matter what legislation passes, it is thought that it's the taxing of these machines, or not taxing these machines like the casinos are taxed. The casinos actually even thought about not paying their 54% of their revenue until something was done with these machines, because some of them aren't taxed. The highest tax proposed was at 16% or something. So what was determined is that if these machines are allowed to stay, they will have to be treated as legal slot machines, just like the casinos. Now, they won't be taxed at 54%, but they would be taxed like truck stops are already taxed for their machines at 35%. And they have to be under the authority of the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Board. The sites that have these machines have to also be approved by the gaming board. The gaming board's in charge of all of them. That's what's going to happen, and they will be taxed. The machines will have to be inspected just like the machines at the casinos. Are they fair? You know, are they working correctly? Are the payouts right? Are the payouts fair? You know, casinos have to follow all of these rules. So to break it down, it's just going to be that, yes, you can have these machines, but they're going to be slot machines treated just like the casinos. So that's going to be interesting, because these machines are going to have to be modified or changed to go along with those regulations or adhere to those regulations. And I just mentioned earlier in the podcast about the Aristocrat Company. That's a big gaming company, a company that manufactures machines, gaming machines, slot machines as we know them. This one small company who's doing the skill games will have to compete with the Aristocrats and the IGT companies of America. So we'll just have to wait and see how that goes.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's not a movement to just take them out.
Well, that's what happened in Missouri.
Yeah.
They just, one of the judges just said, we're not having them.
You know, so the casinos are paying such an outrageous rate, 54%.
And they have to comply with all of those rules.
So if I need a haircut, you know, I got to get in a car and drive a couple blocks to my barber, and then I could play skill machines in the barber shop. And instead of driving to Pittsburgh 30 miles or to Greensburg 30 miles for Pittsburgh Live Casino or the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh. You could see what the casinos are saying.
Yeah, I can see that. We have in Pennsylvania, we have these little slot, I call them slot parlors. There, it just says games of skill, and that's all that's in here. You tell me that's not like a little casino? It is, you know, so they have to be regulated again or taken out. And Missouri decided at the last minute, you know, they were going over and over the legislation, and then finally it was just, nope, they're done. We're not having any. So I wouldn't be surprised if it came to that either.
Okay, well, we'll keep you informed about that. And Janie, thank you for stopping in today. I appreciate it. No system is foolproof or it will be banned. And videos that make gambling look easy, it's not easy. When you're ahead, quit. That's the biggest mistake that we make. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.
They're eating the dogs.
Every day is Saturday at Casinos USA.